My name is Blanche, and I'm a grateful, recovering Al-Anon high.
Amen.
I've been a member of Al-Anon family groups since July 7th, 1964. And I often say that 24 years makes me a survivor and not a savior. And I say that because I need to remember it, and not just to remind you. When I was asked to share my experience on the 12 steps of recovery, and some of this will be my experience and some of it my observations, because we don't live long enough to do it all ourselves, I realized how sorry I am for people that come into Al-Anon and settle for a spiritual band-aid. I have no criticism of them. I just think they're settling for the crumbs, you know, when a banquet has been spread. That the very best we could do is what got us here. We ended up pretty sick and pretty distorted. We had no blueprint for normal. And when I go to Al-Anon, I don't get a blueprint for normal, but I do find out what works. And I know these 12 things work. I was taught them by being given an overall view at first. I was told that these steps are not some weird crackpot scheme. They are very psychologically sound. And neither of our fellowships purports to have a monopoly on the truth. These principles, we didn't think them up. You know, we sort of amassed them and condensed them for our use. But they have been around for a very long time in spiritual writings of all kinds, from scripture to current day people. I was told the first three steps were surrender. And I didn't like hearing that because I didn't know you could win by surrender. I thought you won by fighting. And I heard that as a contradiction. And I'm still not good at surrender. My attitude too often is, well, all right, you know, this is to God. You're bigger than I am. Okay, what can I do? And my sponsor says, no, no, no. Surrender is joyous acceptance of God's will. And I was taught to take these first three steps before my feet hit the floor in the morning. That's because I do not wake up quickly. I have quit feeling rotten about that. I'm a good person, and I don't have to wake up alert to be a good person. I don't wake up grouchy, I just wake up slowly. Now, I have traveled with other Al-Anons to service functions, and they wake up not only alert, but spiritual. And I don't believe in God till 10 o'clock, and I don't think... I don't think anything worthwhile ever happened before noon, and so early on, my sponsor said, okay, you can have your 11th step time anytime it works out for you, but let's take those first three steps before you get out of bed. I have not done anything else in this program perfectly, but I do that. And sometimes if I'm really groggy, I use the Alateen version. At least in Texas, they would say, I can't, he can, I guess I'll let him. When I talked at an Alateen convention some years ago, they gave me a T-shirt with that on it, and I have cherished it. I was told that steps 4 through 9, would clear away the wreckage of the past, and I informed everyone that I had no wreckage in my past. Thank you. And they could ask anybody. And I think how wise they were with me. Here again, my sponsor, instead of explaining to me that there are all kinds of wreckage, she said, okay, steps 4 through 9 will heal your memories. Can you buy that? I could buy that. And of course, now I know there's all kinds of wreckage. And then I was told that 10, 11, and 12 were the maintenance steps. And I know that maintenance is harder than the original effort, whether it's weight loss or prayer life or anything else that we're trying to discipline ourselves to maintain. Getting there is easier than maintaining it. I've had several kinds of arthritis since childhood, and I live with it pretty successfully. One time, back when I was teaching, I had to be absent to have a knee worked on, and I was telling the students why, because I didn't leave them casually and I didn't want them to think I did. So I explained that I would be gone and why. And one of the boys on the front said, once you pass 40, it's just a matter of maintenance, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, once you pass 50, it surely is a matter of maintenance. And so I find no quarrel with those last three steps enabling me to maintain. I would add another dimension, though. I do think they contribute to growth. When I say maintenance, I don't mean treading water, you know, just marking time. But I mean maintaining the growth I have, because I think we either continue to grow or we regress. I don't believe we can stay in the same place in the fellowship. And before I talk about them one by one, I want to say that I think our illness, too, is threefold and that it can be terminal. I think it is physical. I know I go to family reunions and arthritis is so rampant in my family that people are in wheelchairs and on crutches and in braces. And so far I haven't had to do that. And I think very often our psyche hands our emotional pain over to our body and says, here, you hurt a while, you know. I think we are especially, those of us who end up in Al-Anon, susceptible to stress diseases, and it can kill us. And I think we, too, have mental illness in the sense that our thinking is distorted and confused. You know, we kid about that. We'll say things like, oh, well, the second step hasn't worked for me yet, ha, ha, ha. But in two senses, I think we get mental healing through the steps. And one is literally mental stimulation from reading and talking and listening and learning. But at another level of mentality, I believe we are given sound judgment. You know, we do not think better under stress. That is a fallacy. And May 23rd, in our One Day at a Time book, I think there's an extremely profound sentence. It says that when we get into this program, we begin the monumental task of changing our world by changing our thinking. And so that's mental healing. We begin anticipating the good, for instance. And I think our illness, too, is spiritual. And I believe our recovery takes longer because we don't know that our disease is life-threatening. If I have a slip, I won't end up in jail or hospital, and I won't die. I'll have migraine, and arthritis will flare up again. I can almost always pinpoint the reasons why when these things happen. When I got into Al-Anon, I thought I had stumbled into a spiritual kindergarten. If you had given me the program in words of 10 syllables, I would have heard you better. Because it was simple, I thought it was easy. And you've been around long enough to know that whatever it isn't easy. But we are promised a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps and not under any other circumstances. And so the only validity I have is to tell you where I'm coming from. This changing our thinking. Mercy change is hard for me. Is it hard for you? I won't change until the pain of not changing is even worse than the pain of changing. I'm going to take time to give you an example because I love to tell it. My first week in the schools as a counselor, okay, working with little ones that I'd never worked with before. Here again, a mother calls. Her first grader was having trouble on the bus when I talked to him. I brought him into my office. I said, tell me what's wrong. What's happening on the bus? He said, well, those kids pester me. I said, what did you do? Well, I don't say dirty words. I said, well, I'm certainly glad, but what did you do? He reached over and got my tablet and a tongue between the teeth. Okay, very laboriously he prints H-S-I-T. He said, I wrote that down. I said, then what? Well, I showed it to him. I said, what did they do? He said, they couldn't read it. Well, up until now, okay, everything's fine. But I taught English 22 years. It's like a fire horse hearing the bell. I said to him, honey, you didn't spell it right. Here, let me show you. This is how you... I was crossing the T before I thought, what am I doing? I am teaching a section of obscenities. This is not what they hired me for. I don't know if he went home that night and they said, what did you learn in school today? He can tell them. If he ever wants to use the word again, he knows how to spell it. I can tell them. But see how hard it was for me to change. I mean, you wave a misspelled word in front of me, and I just God has marvelous ways in keeping me humble. I hope that the group you attend has meetings that are based on the steps only, and if not, I hope you would hunt a step study group. The group I was in the first 18 years in the program had step study one night a week. And then we had a discussion meeting, then we had a speaker meeting. I really do think speaker meetings are great. That's how you grow speakers. There aren't any in Austin. Distresses me, but they won't let me run things. Not from lack of trying. And of course we have literature, and I hope you have a good sponsor. And with all of those things, I believe you're ready for this spiritual adventure. Step one says we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable. Perhaps people in Al-Anon more than anyone need to be reminded of our powerlessness, because most of us felt that we caused the drinking or we could cure it. Think how much power we were assuming that we had. I used to think, you know, if I were smarter, if I were dumber, if I were taller, if I were shorter, if I were prettier, if I were sweeter, whatever, he wouldn't drink. And the reason I believe we do this, assume that we have the power over it, is that if we don't take the guilt, then we will have to admit that we're powerless. And that scares us to death. And we would rather assume inappropriate guilt than to admit that we're powerless over it. I heard helpless, okay, when they said powerless to me. And being helpless does scare me. And I'm grateful here again. Once I could verbalize these things to my sponsor, then she could straighten me out, but it took me a long time to tell her about them because I don't think I knew I was